It's a story worth telling and worth continuing to tell, and of course a story that we live every day, not just on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day, but a story for every single day. Now, if you were either at Cloverleaf Hall last week or you watched online, you'll know that our leaders for the weekend away, Tim and Helen Miller, talked to us about one of the great I Ams that John has in his gospel. The passage we had last week was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," from John chapter 14, verse 6. Do catch up with it if you're able to. So over the next few weeks, we are going to continue to look at these seven I am statements in John's gospel. And today we're going to look at the statement that said, "I am the resurrection and the life." If you know John's gospel, you'll know that he built his whole gospel around these seven I am statements. And each one of them comes with some context. And so we're going to look at the context of these statements as well as the statement itself over these next few weeks. John called them signs. They were signs of an even deeper truth, something even more to discover about Jesus for each of us. And so I hope that over these next few weeks that we'll discover something deeper. No matter how much we know or aware of Jesus, that there is deeper still for us to experience him in all his fullness. And perhaps this may help us to activate our faith as we continue to live out the story that he has written in each of our lives. Now, some of you will know, I'm sure, that I Am is a title that God gave to Moses when Moses encountered God at the burning bush experience in Exodus chapter 3. I love that story. If you know the story well, you'll know that God had to call Moses by name twice. It happens a few times in Scripture. We see it in the New Testament as well. And it seems to me that if God's going to call your name twice, that he has something really important to say to you. So listen up for how he might call you, and especially when he calls your name twice, then perhaps there's something for you to understand and know a little bit more about him. In the text in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 4, after Moses hears his name twice, he responds by saying, "Here I am." He makes himself available to God in the midst of the wonder of the burning bush in the desert that particular day. I love that Moses made himself available. He made himself available to understand more about who God was, who this voice was that was coming out of this bush. And perhaps that's a good posture for us to be in whenever we read the scripture or meet together to worship. We just make ourselves available. We say, "Here I am, God. I'm ready to hear something more from you. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to respond to what it is you have to say." And when Moses made himself available, when Moses said, "Here I am," God made himself known in return back to him as well. Now, Moses says to God, after Moses has been invited for the task to go to Pharaoh and to bring God's people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, Moses says to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should be able to do this task?" A posture of humility, a posture of openness, perhaps, asking God, "I need you to say something more to me in order for me to do it. Who am I?" And then he very wisely says, "And who are you? Who are you?" And God responds with the assurance Moses needs when God replies, "I am who I am." This mysterious name that God gives to Moses to give him boldness and courage to go to Pharaoh and fulfill the task that he's been given. God says these words, "I am who I am." And now, with Jesus, seven times Jesus claims this title, "I am." And each time he does, he tells us a little bit more about who he is and what his mission is, why he came. And it all culminates in the resurrection power and his life-giving presence for all those who will come a little bit closer when they're invited to respond to his words. And as we come closer, we get to know him a little bit more. And so today on Easter Sunday, we pick up this I am. From John chapter 11, 25, Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Now, for me, as you get older, and for many of you here, I'm sure, Easter feels a little bit different from when we were younger, doesn't it? Every Easter Sunday morning, we would come down for breakfast, and my dad had painted hard-boiled eggs for us. Did anybody else know the tradition of hard-boiled egg painting? Yeah? Every single Sunday, every single Easter Sunday, there would be the painted hard-boiled egg. And it was always exciting to see what he'd painted on the hard-boiled egg. I preferred soft-boiled eggs, but Easter Sunday, we had to have hard-boiled eggs on that particular day. Chocolate eggs were very common. I haven't received a chocolate egg this year so far. Still waiting. Are you waiting? Yeah, Tom's going to give me one now. I can see that. He's going to... Yeah, but it was always exciting on that day. You'd wake up and there was an egg, not only painted, hard-boiled, but also a chocolate one right next to it. And of course, it was always school holidays, which is the best thing about Easter, isn't it? Well, for those of you who are teachers and children still going to school, it is the best thing. But when you get older, of course, Easter takes on a slightly different feel to you. It's a story of life, which you've lived a bit now. It's a story of death, which we want to try and avoid as much as possible. It's a story of hope, and it's a story of resurrection. But when you get older, it's not just ideas. It's not just random words. They've become part of the experience that you've lived in your life for yourself. You've stood at gravesides. You understand what death looks like and feels like. You face disappointments. You understand what it looks like to feel sad that something you longed for and lived for suddenly isn't there anymore, or someone isn't there anymore. You've had moments where things didn't quite turn out as you hoped they would. Just like the disciples, who hoped that Jesus was going to stay with them, but even though he told them he would die and rise again, they still couldn't quite grasp it. They were still disappointed. And so when the women went to that tomb that day, on the third day, they weren't expecting life. They were expecting just to go through the ritual of death itself. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life to you and to me today, it's not just a nice religious phrase that we hear. It's something we can understand and experience and live out every single day. Not only the one who believes in me will live even though they die, but whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Life is painted throughout this experience of Resurrection Sunday. Now, the context for I am the resurrection of life comes from John 11, as you'll see there. And in John 11, we meet Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus has died, and not just died, he's been dead now for 4 days. Now, interestingly, in the culture of Jesus at that particular time, it was always the custom to visit a grave on the third day after somebody had died, just to make sure that they were dead. No surprise then that Mary and Magdalene and the women went to the tomb on the third day to confirm that Jesus was dead. But in this story in John 11, Jesus doesn't arrive until the fourth day, just to make sure that Lazarus was dead. This is not a near miss with Jesus turning up. This is final. This has sealed it. He is definitely dead. So would you read along with me? Let's read the text from John 11, 17 to 27. This is the fourth day since Lazarus died. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So Martha went out to meet Jesus. She couldn't wait any longer for Jesus to come to her, and her pent-up frustration could not be held inside any longer. So when she meets Jesus, she speaks to him face to face, eye to eye. Now, I'm guessing she had rehearsed this question for Jesus many, many times since her brother had died. Have you ever done that? You know you're going to have a conversation with somebody and you rehearse the conversation before you actually have it. You know what the first thing is you're going to say. Well, I can imagine that Martha had all this in her mind when she saw Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, what does that tell you about who Martha is? There has to be some faith in there, isn't it? Doesn't there? She believed that if Jesus had been present, he would have made all the difference and he would have healed her brother before he died. But you can also hear her disappointment. Words like, questions like, where were you when I needed you the most? Why did you take so long to get here? Now, I'm guessing many of us will have asked the same question when we have prayed those heartfelt longing prayers. Lord, if only you had. Where were you? Why did you take so long? But one of the most remarkable things in this passage is that Jesus doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't say, just have more faith. Instead, he meets her right in her grief and her doubt and her uncertainty. Now, it's clear from the conversation that Martha has an intellectual understanding of faith. She affirms her hope of resurrection at the last day, but it is now, today, that she wants the answer. She wants the reassurance that something can happen today, not just at some future day. Now, she isn't wrong in her theology, but Jesus is looking to her for something else. He wants to see something else start to birth in her. And when Jesus reveals to himself to her as the resurrection of the life, he then challenges her with a very simple question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Will you embrace the reality of who I am in this moment? Despite your disappointment, despite your questions, despite telling me off really as to why I hadn't come sooner or why I hadn't answered your prayer sooner, will you embrace the reality of who I am today that will go with you into your future? Now, she does believe something. She seems to believe in Jesus because she sees Jesus as the Messiah. Now, that's a huge statement. Obviously, the Jews were waiting for a Messiah still to come. And obviously, as you know the story of Jesus, most of them didn't believe that he was the Messiah they were waiting for. He did things differently. He said things that were shocking. He lived a different life from how they perceived the Messiah would come. And the Romans were still in charge. The Messiah hadn't overthrown their rule. But she said, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe who you are. You are who you say you are. But Jesus is asking, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection of life? Do you believe that more than I am the Messiah? Do you believe that I am more than you believe right now? Will you understand the full extent of who I am and why I've come? He didn't offer to explain how the resurrection would happen. He didn't want to give her a theory that she might believe. He just said, I am. And he longs, just as Moses took God at his word and did what God asked him to do, he longs for Martha in this moment to accept this name, I am. Past, present, and future, life now and life tomorrow, that Jesus will die, but he will also burst out of the tomb. I am resurrection and I am life. So does Martha realize she is looking in the face of the one who will conquer death itself through his own death? Does she understand that he has life to give her that she hasn't yet experienced in all its fullness? Do you believe this? And then Mary comes. Read with me the next bit of this story. After she had said this, that's Martha, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have we heard that question before already? It's the same question that Martha had. Exactly the same words. Maybe they'd sat down and worked out together. What question are we going to ask him when he eventually arrives? Well, this was the question. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But notice something very different has happened in this story. Something very different from Martha's approach to Mary's approach. Martha was face to face with Jesus, eye to eye. Where was Mary? She was on her knees. She was on her knees asking exactly the same question, a different posture, a different response to the one who had come that day. See, I think Mary's posture tells us something about her faith in this moment as well. Big enough to trust that Jesus will do something. And Jesus does. Read with me this next section. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus didn't explain what was going to happen next. He gave no hope to her in that moment, other than her belief in who Jesus is. So what does he do? He weeps. If ever you doubt God's love towards you, Jesus wept. No theory to explain why he wasn't there in time. No theological explanation of the past or what was going to happen. No excuses, no reasons why this had happened. Jesus just wept. Grief overwhelms Jesus. Life is hard, sometimes with no immediate answers. Just tears is all you have to offer. And Jesus weeps with you because this is how much he loves you. And suffering breaks his heart. Jesus has come to bring life, resurrection life to us all. His own resurrection, which we celebrate today, is the guarantee that he will be with us. Whatever is happening, we can trust him. And as we wait for him to come to meet us, we wait for him to act. It might not be on the third day or the fourth day, but he is on his way because he is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection isn't just about what happens after we die, because he says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives, lives by believing in me will never die. N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, says this: the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. Now, the end of this story was dramatic. Lazarus, come out. Resurrection broke in to this moment, and Lazarus does come out. Still wrapped in his grave clothes, blinking into the bright light shining that day, Jesus calls out life from what looks like death. And this miracle points towards the person who says and does these things, and who died and who rose again, pointing forward to a promise for all who will believe. Now, if we'd been there, I'm certain it's a day we would never, ever forget. But of course, this miracle is not just about Lazarus. It's a sign. I am the resurrection and the life. A glimpse of something bigger that will happen because of what happened at Easter. When Jesus walked out of the tomb, not with grave clothes bound up, but free to live and love again. And if Jesus really did rise from the dead, then death is not the end. Then hope is not wishful thinking, and truth can transform our lives today. I pray that you will know that he is the resurrection and the life, and that you too will live in the light of that truth, as Jesus is the I am that we can continue to trust and believe in.